Let us pray. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, come into our hearts. Shed the brightness of thy light on all nations, that they may be one in faith and pleasing to you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Amen. I must admit that one of the most troubling passages in all of Scripture for me is the second chapter of Acts, a portion of which was our epistle reading today, the reading for every year, the epistle, the first reading for Pentecost. There's a lot of strange things, as I'm sure you're well aware if you're at least paying attention to the reading, going on in that passage. We see the apostles gathered together on a morning, and the Spirit descending upon them like a loud wind. There are Galileans preaching, and they are being heard in all the languages of the world, or at least that's what Luke is trying to convey to us this morning. There are strange words from the Old Testament being read anew, prophecies coming into fulfillment. And Peter, that unlikely fisherman, becoming the true head of the church. It's a very unnerving passage. And Acts 2 just keeps going on and going on. If you were to look at the end of the chapter, you find that the apostles and all the early disciples have sold all their possessions. And they start sharing and living a life that is unlike anything that we have now. And past that, in all the early chapters of Acts, there are strange, strange things. Peter's shadow can heal people. Paul's handkerchief can heal people. People are preaching everywhere they go, preaching about the wonderful deeds of God. And I've always thought, and I can't help but think it this morning, how we don't really see the same thing when we gather. Pentecost, what we're celebrating today, what we're calling into attention, is the birth of the church. That was the church in her first experience. Here we are. 2,000 years later, what is our experience? How alike? How are things similar to that first Pentecost morning? And how are things different? Pentecost also brings into mind the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church. But is all of this just history? Is this all just a recollection of past events? Doesn't it seem when we hear about fishermen preaching in strange tongues that it seems like something that could never happen again? Something that was for one moment in time. I'm here to tell you this morning, though, that Pentecost is not just some old event. Pentecost, as a celebration in the Christian church, is ancient. It is the most ancient festival we celebrate, along with Easter. They were more together in the early days. But we've been celebrating Pentecost longer than we've been celebrating Easter as a universal church. And it's so good, actually, to see a lot of people here this morning, kind of like we were celebrating Christmas or Easter. Because indeed, on this day, as well, in any day, the church should be full to the brim of people. But like I said, we're not just remembering something that happened 2,000 years ago today. This is significant. This is not history. Like all the days of the Christian year, this is a live issue. Today, we face a world that is quite indifferent to the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we even face a world that is hostile to the message. Even in a country like the United States that is so accepting still of the Christian message, sometimes it is very, very difficult to get our message out. In fact, I one time heard the Episcopal chaplain at the University of Michigan say that it is easier to be out and gay at the University of Michigan than it is to be out and Christian at the University of Michigan. That says something. The disciples, the apostles, They faced a hostile and indifferent world. They faced a world that needed Jesus, just like our world so desperately needs Jesus. We live in a world that is desperate and ready, I think, for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost is a reminder of just that. Pentecost is a reminder, a celebration, not only that the Spirit has come, but that the Spirit will come. It's just a matter of if we want it or not. Those first disciples spent days praying, 9 days praying in between the Lord's ascension and the outpouring of the Spirit. Are we ready to pray like that? The disciples were together, as in the old translation, they were of one accord. I love the image that presents to us. Are we together? Are we in one accord like they are? Not just here at St. Michael's, which would be fantastic in of itself, but as one holy Catholic and apostolic church, are we really one like I believe God sees us as one? Are we ready to proclaim Christ crucified, not just in word, but also in deed? The Spirit is ready to come to us, like it was ready to come to those apostles, who were ready in turn to give up everything for that same Spirit, even their very lives. I debated telling this story again, but I told it earlier, and so I will tell it again. One of the most interesting and important things that anybody ever said to me about the Holy Spirit was at a Kroger grocery store in Bucyrus, Ohio. My friend said to me, "Sean, all you want to do is make out with the Holy Spirit. You don't want to go all the way." And he was right. He was right. I knew it then, and I know it now. Like a man who just courts and courts a woman without any intention of marrying her, I was content to just hold the hand of the Holy Spirit, kiss her once in a while, take her out to dinner, but never consummate the marriage, I guess you would say. Because it's dangerous. We see what happened to the apostles. They all ended up dead. It's very, very scary. But yet, it's the kind of thing that turns the world upside down. It's the kind of thing that gets everybody knowing about the wonderful works of God. So, yes, this morning, we look a little bit different than we did 2,000 years ago. I don't think anybody's going to come in through those doors or those doors and accuse us of being drunk. But still, the Spirit's here with us. It just depends on how much we want to be with the Spirit. We're about to baptize a young man this morning, a child. And just like the Spirit descended upon those apostles, the Holy Spirit is going to descend upon that child and make him a member of God's kingdom, and of God's church. And that, my friends, is as wonderful as somebody getting up and preaching the gospel in all the languages of this world. So this week, let's think about what it might look like if we were to give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. I do it daily. I mean, as somebody who longs to be a priest, that's part of what we do. But it's not just for priests or deacons or bishops. It's for everybody. All of us who have been baptized, it's our job, our duty, our love, to give our lives to the Holy Spirit. And it takes everything. It demands everything because it could end up costing us everything. So please, pray this week, and let's keep our eyes open, and let's see what God's going to do in his church. And let's get out there and tell everybody about the wonderful works of God. Amen.